Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we've been talking about presumption, and we've been having a fun time doing it, haven't we? It's been very good. We've been understanding presumption, assuming things, having an opinion about things. You know, and we live in a world that's very opinionated. Our society today is very opinionated, and people have strong, strong beliefs that they're building their life on. And yet those beliefs are just based on their ideas, somebody else's ideas. Somebody else's ideas that they shared with them, that they built their ideas upon. And so you've got all these people that are building life on things that are not sure. But you and I have something sure, something definite, something that does not fail. And it's the truth of God's word. God's word does not fail. All other ground that a person could build their life on, other than the word of God, is sinking sand. But God's word is a rock. It's a rock that we could build our life on. And when the storms of life come against us, we'll be able to stand. Because God's a God of his promises. Amen. He's a God of the word. He backs up his word. And when we abide in his word, when we build our life on his word, when his word is the final authority in our life, then what we say, God will back up. God will back up whatever we say, and we'll have whatever we say. That's what Jesus said. You'll have whatever you say. So God's word needs to be the final authority in our life. We don't build our life on opinions. We don't build our life on just people's ideas. We build our life on the word of God. We never want to go out beyond God's word. That would be to transgress, which is sin. We don't want to transgress God's word by thinking and acting beyond God's word. And we see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 6. He says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." People had all kinds of different opinions about themselves and about others, and that caused divisions and strife among them. And so here he's telling them that they need to learn not to think beyond what is written. Everything we do in life needs to be in line with God's word. That's abiding in the word of God. That's abiding in Jesus Christ, because he is the word made flesh. So we are to abide in Jesus. We're to remain in him, continue in him. How do you do that? By not doing anything beyond his word. Don't even think beyond the word of God. The Bible says in another place that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or into obedience to the word of God, the word of Christ. So we got to take every thought captive. And an opinion comes, a thought comes. We need to, it didn't just be a reaction to us, that just this thought rises up. What does the word say about that? Is what I'm doing in line with God's word? Or am I transgressing his word? Am I just doing my own thing? Am I just following my own ideas or other people's ideas? What does the word actually say about this? And thank God the word of God covers everything that we will deal with in life. The Word of God covers it all. So we need to know His Word and train ourselves. I don't think beyond the Word. And that'll cause you to grow in the Word fast if you have that kind of attitude. If you have the attitude of, well, what does the Word say? In other words, with everything, you don't think beyond the Word of God. In other words, you're always involving the Word in everything. Then you're going to grow in your knowledge of the Word or in your knowledge of the God of God. You're going to grow in revelation knowledge of Him. When the Word of God is the final authority in your life, that's when you start getting revelation from God. It's good to think. You want to use your mind. You want to think things through. Think things out. But don't think beyond the Word. Always bring everything back to the Bible. Bring everything back to the Word of God. Even your thoughts about yourself. Even your thoughts about yourself. You don't want to just have ideas about yourself that are just based on your opinion, your feelings, what you think. You want to make sure that what you think about yourself is in line with God's Word. That's why the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12, he says, therefore, let him who thinks, do we have any people that think? Let him who thinks, so he's talking to you, but we're not done yet. Let him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Well, take heed to what? Take heed to the Word. Take heed to the Word. See, make sure your confidence, even concerning yourself, is rooted and grounded in what God says, not just in how you feel, not just in your opinion of yourself. Because if your opinion of yourself, in other words, you're just self-confident, the Bible says you're going to fall. And again, you might not fall right away, but you will eventually, you will experience a fall. So we don't want to just think highly of ourselves apart from God's Word. We always want to think in line with the Word of God. Also negative. You don't want to just think negative thoughts about yourself either. I'm just no good. I'm just an old sinner. I'm just a worm. I'm just a nobody. Nobody loves me. I'm just nobody. And you go off on this self-pity. Well, that's sin. Self-pity is sin. Because it's all presumption. It's all built on self, which is pride. Pride doesn't always just think great about itself. Pride can think terrible about itself. But the way we need to think is in line or according to what is written, according to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Always come back to what God says. We don't want to just be wise in our own opinion. Confident in our own opinion of ourselves or of others. And a lot of folks judge other people and they have strong opinions about other people that in most cases is not accurate because it's not according to the Word of God. If somebody has a problem with somebody, you got to say, well, what in the Word is wrong with them? What in the Word is wrong with them? That really is the question. Somebody says to you, you know, I don't like so-and-so. Blah, 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 blah. You need to walk up to them and say, well, what in the Word is wrong with them? In other words, do you have scripture and verse for your dislike? Do you have scripture? Are they violating scripture? What are they scripturally doing wrong that you don't like? Well, I just don't like the way they looked at me. See, that's just the flesh. That's just the flesh. It's walking in pride. It's walking in presumption. And the Bible says it's sin. And so we want to recognize that. That is unacceptable. How many people, sin is unacceptable to us. So presumption is unacceptable to us. So we judge ourselves of that stuff. No, no. Come back to, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? How should I be thinking about them? And when in doubt, just come back to love. Right? What would love do? What would love do? The purpose of God's Word, the purpose of the commandments, the Bible says, is love. So it's all comes back to love. So let's just think lovely thoughts. Love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, believes the best. So why don't we just start there? Amen? Let's just believe the best then. If we don't know what else to find out in the word concerning them, let's just go ahead and take 1 Corinthians 13 then and believe the best. Can you say amen? Notice in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 16, it says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Watch about your own opinions. We gotta be slow to give our opinion. We got to be slow enough to be able to let the word of God catch up to us so that we speak, when we speak, it is in line with God's word. It's not just an opinion of ours. And we don't want to just be wise in ourselves, wise in our own ideas. Because remember, we talked last time, we looked at the scripture in Corinthians. It says that if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. So we are, apart from the word, know-nots. I'm sorry. I know this isn't really helping your self-esteem right now, but we're really not interested in self, are we? We're interested in him. We're interested in the spirit, right? A lot of times folks just looking for self-esteem boosters. Give me a pep talk. Give me a pep talk. Well, I'm going to give you the word. And it might not make you feel peppy. It might not make you feel peppy. It might make you feel puny. And foolish. So that maybe you humble yourself. Repent and become more dependent upon him. That wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? So we're not just looking for motivational speaking. We're not just looking for encouragement according to man's feelings and man's opinions, something that just makes us feel good. We want the word of God. We want to know what his says. So I say it again. Apart from the word, you're a know-not. You're a know-not. See, it's the word. It's knowing God, knowing the word that makes us something. It's knowing the word that makes us something. See, that makes us smart. That makes us wise. That makes us strong. That makes us to be able to do that which is impossible. We're able to do the impossible. Why? Because of our knowledge of the word, which is our knowledge of God. The Bible says, if anyone glories, if anyone boasts, let him boast in this. This is God talking, that he knows and understands me. If you're going to boast, if you're going to brag, let it be in this one thing. That you know and understand God. That you know and understand the word of God. That you understand what is written. And you're walking in line with that word. That word is eternal. That word is sure. That word is powerful. That word is indestructible. And that word's going to make you indestructible when you walk by faith in it and not by sight. So we put all our trust in the word of God, and that makes us something. Something awesome, a force to be reckoned with, a devil trampling force in the earth. When no weapon formed against us will prosper. We are mighty in our God. We are strong in the Lord. Why? Because we live according to what is written. We are building our life on the word of God and not our feelings and our opinions. Which the Bible says, those who do are like waves of the sea, tossed and driven by the wind. But then Jesus said over in John 3, those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. See, they're the wind. They do the pushing and shoving. Those who are of faith, those who walk in the Spirit, those who know God, those who flow with God, they're like the wind. They do the pushing and the shoving. Those that operate and function according to the flesh outside the confines of God's word, they're like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven, just pushed around. Their opinions are strong one day, and then it just all collapses, and they grab another opinion over here, and then that collapses, and then just shoved and pushed over here by this and that. But you and I, bless the Lord, we're like the wind, and we go in there, and we know where we're going. Nobody knows where we're going and where we're coming from, but bless the Lord, we do. We're flowing with Him. We're following God. We're living according to the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Over in Romans 11, Romans the 11th chapter. Shikalabasa. Yeah. In verse 25, he says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Well, we're not talking right now about Israel. But we do want to grab that part right there. And we see that we are not to be wise in our own opinion. And when we're ignorant of the mysteries of God's word, that's what ends up happening. People that are ignorant of the mysteries of God's word, they end up being wise in their own opinion. They end up building their life on their own opinion. See, you and I are not to make conclusive decisions on our own. Again, we can have ideas and we can think, but it doesn't end with our own opinion. We're not doing things on our own in life. We are in partnership with somebody. We're in partnership with God Almighty. We're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our leader, the one who's guiding us through life. We're in partnership with Him. He will never possess you. God will never possess you. He says, "God possess me." He doesn't do that, but He will partner with you. And He wants to be your partner in life. And if you're His child, He expects you to be His partner and for Him to be your partner in life. So our opinions should not be being for our judgment of things. Our ideas about things should not be being formed and fashioned apart from Him. It shouldn't be being done on our own. It needs to be being done within the partnership that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. We have a partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we make decisions with Him. We have to think. We have to judge. We have to count costs. We have to consider. Ideas come, ideas go. And in all of this, God needs to be involved. Things are getting bounced off of Him. That's why we pray like we do. We love to pray. That's why we pray. Because we're bouncing things off of Him every day. He's a part of everything that we're doing in life. We're in this partnership. We don't dare do anything without our partner. We're not going to just go out and just do something, just make a decision and a major decision and just come up with some conclusive thing and we haven't consulted Him. He's not directly involved in it. We're not listening for Him. We're not making sure this is okay with Him. That would be transgressing. That would be wrong. That would lead us in a wrong direction. That'll eventually get us in a lot of trouble. It has gotten us in trouble many times in the past. But we're learning not to think beyond what is written. We're learning to make sure that we involve the Lord in everything that we do and all the decisions that we make in life. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Here the Apostle Paul is in its context, he's talking about being married, being single, talking about widows and all these different things. And he makes this statement in verse 40. He says, "But she," talking about a widow, "she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment." Now, it doesn't just stop there. "According to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God." See, he had his own thoughts about things. He had his own judgment concerning things. He had his own ability to make decisions. God's given that to us. But in his decision making, he mentions the Holy Spirit. So he says, you know, according to my judgment, this is how I see it. And oh, by the way, it's not just me. I think I even have the Holy Spirit. I think he did too. What do you think? I think he did too. So he had the Holy Spirit. So here he was making a judgment call concerning something. See, we're not talking about just waiting around for God to just speak something to us before we do anything. He expects us to make decisions. He expects us to be able to figure things out. He expects us to use the creativity that he's given to us, the gifts that he's given to us, to be able to troubleshoot things and come up with ideas. But in all of that, the Holy Spirit is involved with us. We need to be very much aware of the Holy Spirit, that he is there. And if he disagrees with it, then we don't go with it. And there's been plenty of times, I might confess, that, I'm talking in a conversation, and then I get to going, and then I'll just say something, you know, just in the course of that conversation, and when I say something, somebody wasn't happy with that. I mean, you just feel, you know, when you're like in, you're driving in a car and the car goes over a hill. Maybe you're sitting in the back seat and weren't ready for it. It just goes over a hill and your whole stomach drops. It's that kind of feeling. It's like your stomach kind of drops, you know. And very slight. Well, there's been times where it wasn't slight. But a lot of times it's just a slight little, and I know, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. Not necessarily that what I said was wrong, but that I just even shouldn't even have said it. It just wasn't the thing to say, even though the facts were correct, perhaps, about it. I still shouldn't have said it. So it's being aware of that. So when that happens, if that ever happens, I repent immediately. I judge myself because it's sin. I missed it. I got moving too fast. I got moving. And whenever it happened, I kind of pushed myself into it. It's like I had him kind of holding me back. And I just kind of went forward into it anyway. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It just dropped. How many people know what I'm talking about? We all need to know this. We all need to be aware of this. You know? How can I know this? Have an attitude that you're not going to live beyond what is written, that anything apart from the Word of God is completely unacceptable to you. And when you have that kind of attitude, you'll know everything you need to know when you need to know it. And you'll become very aware of what is written and the Spirit of God on the inside of you and what he's saying. Remember, the Word and the Spirit, they agree together. So you might not have scripture and verse on something, but you have the Holy Spirit giving you a check on the inside. Then you can always go back, study the Word to find out how that check that you got or that conviction that you got agrees with the Word of God. Then find scripture for it. But it's a powerful thing to have both the Word and the Spirit, to know both the Word, have understanding of the Word, and the Spirit. Because then that's going to keep you on the path of life. That's going to keep you from making terrible mistakes in life. So we want to really develop this relationship. But again, we're not wise in our own opinion. In other words, we're not wise on our own. We're wise with him. We're wise in him and him in us. He is who makes us wise. We are not to be on our own. So we bring all our ideas, all our thoughts are submitted to him. It's all submitted to him. Over in Genesis chapter 2, you remember when God made man, he brought all the animals to come. Remember that? Over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So God says, Adam, I'm putting you in charge of this place. It's nice, isn't it? Oh, it's so nice, Lord. I put you in charge of this place. Now we got all these beasts over here and these birds. And so, come on. God whistles. And they all start coming. And then God looks, and Adam's like, what's that, God? And God's like, you tell me. What do you think? What's your thoughts about it? What would you call it? Giraffe. And God says, I like that. That's good. And then another one comes over, and God's like, what? And Adam's like, Lord, what is that? He's, Adam, you tell me. Monkey. That's a monkey. I think a monkey's a good name for that. God says, I like that. That's good. And he names them all. And notice what it says. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was the name. That was his name. In other words, God didn't tell him what the names were. God put that ability in him to do that, but God was right there with him. God was right there with him while it was happening. And so if he said, Gogia, God would say, you're close. I think we could do better than that. Gorilla. That's it. That's it, Adam. That's it. Right? But he made those decisions. And many times, you know, I've asked God things, and he says, well, what do you say about it? Lord, I just appreciate you just tell me. Well, no, I've given you the ability to think these things through, and you can come up with God ideas because you have the mind of Christ. Because my word abides in you, and you think so much like me that you can get this. You can get this. And you'll find as you grow in God, there'll be some things, you know, that he will not talk to you about. He's waiting for you to talk to him about it. He's not going to tell you, Lord, should I do this? Should I do this? He's like, you tell me. You should know that by now. You got my word in you. My spirit is in you. You know right from wrong. You know how I think. You got this. You know, just like a child raises a parent raises a child. A child doesn't raise a parent. Well, in some homes, children raise the parents. But in most cases, what's supposed to be is the parent raises the child. And so they raise that child. And as that child grows up, there's certain things that they're expecting from that child. And so as that child gets older, the parent is able to trust them and is expecting that child to do as they, the parent, would do and approve of. Parent can't follow them around and tell them everything to do. And don't say that. Don't do it. Don't talk like that. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. The child needs to get it after a while and start getting, knows what pleases dad, what pleases mom, knows what's the right thing to do, what's not the right thing to do. And so then that child grows up and goes out and does what it was trained to do by its parents. It's the same thing with us with God. He's training us. He's developing us in his word. We're getting to know him so that we think like him and we make decisions with him that we know would be pleasing to him. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, you know, I think this way according to my judgment and I have the spirit of God. In other words, I'm not just rogue. I'm not over here just doing my own thing. This isn't just my own idea apart from God. I'm full of the Spirit. I'm full of the Word of God. And here's how I see it. And it's good judgment. It's good judgment. Over in Romans chapter 9, Paul, he said this. He says, I tell the truth, 9 verse 1. He says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And he begins to talk about the sorrow he has for the nation of Israel and for those that are lost. And he begins to share some of the things of how he wishes he himself could be cut off from God if it meant the salvation of God's people. That's pretty extreme, don't you think? And so you could say, oh, come on. You love God's people that much that you would go to hell for them? You would spend eternity in hell so they can go to heaven? It seems like an exaggeration to me. How many people know exaggerating is lying? Paul says, I'm not lying. But you know, sometimes you can exaggerate things to yourself and believe lies about yourself. You can believe a certain way about yourself, and you believe this is how you feel about it, and you're just so this way concerning God, and you're just so righteously indignant, and you're just so whatever. You're just such a lovely person. You're just such a compassionate person. You can believe all kinds of things about yourself, and it might be a lie. It might be blown out of proportion. It might be a complete exaggeration. But you can't trust yourself apart from him, apart from the word of God, apart from the spirit of God. So Paul says, I'm not exaggerating. I am not lying about this. I really feel this way. And my conscience, this is how I know I'm not lying. This is how I know that I'm thinking correctly about myself. Because my conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is showing me this is really how I am. This is really how I feel. He knows the truth about us. The Holy Spirit knows the truth about us. So he comes back to, again, his conscience. That's the voice of his spirit. His spirit, his own human spirit's voice is his conscience, and the Holy Spirit is communicating to him through his conscience. And so, like, when I was talking, I'm like, on the inside there, it's my conscience. Your conscience is bothering you. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. Missed it there. It's my conscience. Or, even better, I'm not going to go there because if I go there, I'll miss it. Because your conscience will deal with you before you do wrong. He warns us about everything. So we don't have to do wrong. We don't have to say the wrong thing. We don't have to act wrong. We can know in the Holy Spirit, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. And that's important to know. I said it's important to know, especially when it looks like things are falling apart around you and it looks like the decisions you've made have created problems and they've created chaos and it's caused you to be rejected and it's causing negative things to happen in your life. A lot of times people look and then they start second guessing. Start second guessing themselves. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. I thought it was God. I thought I was supposed to do that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Oh Lord, I don't know. I mean. Start backpedaling, and oh man, now you're out there just a victim of whatever thoughts and whatever feelings and whatever the devil wants to throw at you. Because now you are on sinking sand. You've just stepped off the word, and you are sinking in quicksand. How many people know what I'm talking about? So that's why we need to know in the Holy Spirit. No, we're right on target. We're right on target. And that's really nice, you know, because no matter what seems to be going wrong, you know you're right on the mark. Right on the mark. But so many people that you meet in life, that's not how they are. They are reacting to other people's opinions and feelings and thoughts and ideas about things. They're all trained in reacting. It's like a big chain reaction, you know. And everybody's just reacting to one another. And it's creating all kinds of mass problems. Thank God you and I don't have to be a part of that mess. You and I can walk right through the masses that are all reacting and making messes. We can walk through the messes of the masses. No, we're not missing it. But bless the Lord, we're right on target. Hallelujah, man. As long as I'm right with him, see, as long as I'm right with him, as long as I'm on course with him, I know I'm going to get to my destination. Now, if I don't know that, if I'm not sure, then, you know, you can get over here in the woods and you're out here and you're just wandering in the wilderness and you're like little Is it Hansel and Gretel that they left the little crumbs? That's how a lot of people, they go out and they leave crumbs behind. They leave breadcrumbs thinking, I'll find my way back because I leave the breadcrumbs. And then a little squirrel comes and messes their plans up. Think about it. A little squirrel can mess up their plans now. Just goes there and eats all their breadcrumbs. They're all lost now. They're lost out here. They're all confused. Praise God. Don't leave breadcrumbs behind. Follow the word. Can you say amen? Amen. Leave scripture. Post them to the trees. Put the word everywhere. Praise God. Follow the word. Follow the Holy Ghost. Follow God's instructions. Know the truth about yourself. Know the truth about where you're at. Walk in reality concerning yourself. And if that reality is according to the word of God, if your reality is the word of God, then you're going to be all right. So there's never any reason to get depressed or upset based on circumstances. Because it's going to be all right. Because I built my life on him. Built my life on his word. His word doesn't fail. God's word does not fail. Isn't that what we said in the beginning? It's a rock. We're not going under. We're only going over. You have that kind of attitude. That's why no weapon formed against you will prosper. Didn't say no weapons will be formed against you, but they won't prosper. Bible says you'll laugh at destruction. I like that. You see destruction come and you'll laugh at it. Hallelujah. Because you know it won't touch you. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And then Acts 15, verse 28. He says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They share these various different things that they felt it would be good for the church to do. But notice, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Don't you love that? It wasn't just us. We didn't just come with this. We didn't just come together as a board. If the board members come together, all the board members come together, and they put all their brains together, and it equals a big zero. But they make a lot of sizzing sounds. They all come together. The board. Thank God for the board. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. We come, we connect with him. Make sure the Holy Spirit comes to every board meeting. Some people don't even have the Holy Spirit on as a board member. Isn't that a terrible thing? But thank God he's a part of the board. Can you say amen? Praise God forever. So we're not going to think beyond the word of God like we see over in James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4, very familiar scripture to many, but how fitting. It fits right in with what we're talking about here in this series. James, the fourth chapter, he says in verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. This is how we're going to make some money this coming year. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to such and such a city. We got this great plan. We got great ideas. We've done all kinds of testing to see if it would work. We've checked with the people in that area, and we took surveys, and we found out what everybody likes, and we've got it, and it's going to work. I know it's going to work because we've seen three of the businesses do the exact same thing, and it worked perfectly, and so we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to do that. It just seems so good to all of us, doesn't it? Oh, yes. So we're going to go to this city, and we're going to buy and sell and make a profit, verse 14. He says, where is you do not know what will happen tomorrow? Now think about this. These are people doing things apart from God. Think about how God views that. I mean, it looks so stupid. I mean, it just looks like total ignorance. God's looking, and here are these people going, we're going to go here tomorrow, we're going to buy and sell and everything else. And God's looking going, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. How are you planning next year? You don't know. Who does know about tomorrow? Who knows about next year? He knows. He knows everything that's going on. You know, we live in a world today, things can change quick at a push of a button. The world can be changed dramatically. Something can happen before we're out of bed tomorrow. We don't know what's being plotted. We don't know what people are doing. There are psychotic people out there, and there are all kinds of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, things can change quick. But people just get in this mode like, you know, the way it is the way it's always going to be, and we're just going to buy and sell. We're going to just do this, and then we're going to get this. I got this 10-year plan, and then we're going to retire. And they don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. See, God looks at that. That's arrogance. It's presumption. It's arrogance. Total arrogance. So he goes on. He says, you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, for what is your life? God's trying to put things in perspective. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time. There goes the self-image. I'm sorry. It's happening again. You're just a vapor. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, watch this, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who thinks, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it is sin. It is sin. So again, presumption is sin. But notice what he says. He says, this is the solution to it. It's a very simple solution. He's not saying, don't think. Don't come up with ideas and don't plan your monthly, weekly, monthly, yearly calendar. He's not telling you not to have a plan. He's not telling you not to budget things. He's not telling you not to think things through. He's not telling you to not have ideas. He didn't say that. He said, but what you need to do is say, now, if the Lord wills, if this seems good to the Holy Spirit, if this is right with God, if this is good to him, then you know what? We're going to go to this city. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. And this is how we're going to make a profit. But the way we're going to make a profit is by being like a prophet and knowing the mind of God, knowing the mind of God, knowing the mind of the Spirit, and yielding and flowing with him, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So we're not just, he's not saying don't sit down and have ideas. He says, go ahead, have these ideas. He didn't say, coming up with the idea to go to such and such a city, buy and sell and make a profit was wrong. He did not say that was wrong. He didn't say it was a bad idea. He said what was a bad idea was doing those things completely without checking with God first. He says that is absolute arrogance and ridiculous because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why wouldn't you check with someone that knows everything about these things to make sure this is right and good? Well, the economy, you know, you just never know. It's going to collapse. It's going to this. It's going to that. You know, I don't know, but he knows. So if he leads me to invest in something, if he's leading me, go ahead and buy this and sell that and do this. I mean, there's some things without him, I'd kind of be afraid to move. Things are so unpredictable. It's like they're great. There's so many things threatening our nation's prosperity. So many things just trying to sabotage the prosperity that's taking place in our nation. So many things trying to sabotage it. You just don't know, but he knows. And I got good news. I got a green light on the inside. I got good up ahead. Now, I also know persecution's up ahead. Because he always reminds me of that. When we start thinking about increase and prosperity, and I start feeling it. I'm like, I know it. Glory be to God. It's like, persecution. It's like, Because whenever God does something big, you know, demons don't get happy about it. And they'll stir up all those that yield to him. And they'll create trouble for you, try to create problems for you. So, you know, usually persecution follows. Jesus talked about that to his disciples. He says, it's God's will for you to prosper, that you have a hundredfold in this life and eternal life as well. He said, but with that prosperity will be persecution. He says, you receive that with persecution. So, you know, we need to be sober and understand. So God, he warns us, he lets us know, but he also lets us know when we have a green light. He knows when it's good to move forward. So in everything we do, we need to come back to, does the Lord will? Does the Lord will? Notice what he said again. What are we supposed to ask ourselves? If the Lord wills, verse 15. If the Lord wills, we shall live. So he says, well, I know it's God's will for me to live. Well, maybe you need to lay your life down. Maybe he might send you on a rescue mission tomorrow. He might send you on a rescue mission, and it's going to require you laying your life down in order to get that person saved and deliver somebody. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could. Are you ready? If the Lord wills, we'll live. He's the one keeping us alive, isn't he? We shall live and do this or that if the Lord wills. That's what we got to ask. If the Lord wills. Now, again, some people have taken that over to extremes. And they come over here and they say, well, if the Lord wills, we'll get healed. Bible says that's a part of your redemption. That's as ignorant as saying, if the Lord wills, we'll be forgiven. If you repent, he's very clear about that. If you come to him for mercy, he'll give you mercy. Right? If you come repenting, he's going to give you mercy. So there's certain things we already know according to his will. His written word is his will. So we don't have to say, if it be his will, when it comes to the written word. But when it comes to going to such and such a city and buying and selling and making a profit, I can't find that in the Bible. So that's why I say, now, Lord, if it's your will concerning that. But there are things I know his will, and he expects me to know his will concerning some other things. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Thank God. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the light. Thank God he's rescuing us tonight from walking in presumption, walking according to the opinions of men and being wise in our own opinion. In other words, wise on our own. Everything we do in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And we don't think beyond what is written. We take the word of God into everything that we're doing. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.